Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fran, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Hello, everyone. How are you? All right, now we are back. Yes, it's another Monday here on the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. We are so excited to be back here on the show. Listen, if you want to tune in, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. You could go on your computer or any mobile device to lock in. Listen, hit us up on 646-668-8485. Listen, this is the Marriage Playbook, and this is Season 8, Game 9, Date Like a Christian. Listen, we are so excited. Thank you for our listening family for tuning in. And look, Coach Eric, come on, let's do this show today.
All right, man. It's April 15th. It's Monday night. Listen, okay, spring is in the air. Cherry blooms are blossoming. It's beautiful. Love is in the air. It's dating season. It really is. So this is the show for most single people need to listen to this show today. I'm telling you, I think you'd be blessed by the information that's coming forth. Okay, this is Season 8, Game 9, Date Like a Christian, Blog Talk Radio, Real Christian Radio. Hey, we're going to get started as soon as we come back with your commercial break.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship, prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Oh, man. Date like a Christian. And, you know, we need the help of Almighty God here, man, to enlighten us on the issues of dating. We really do. We have become so far off in our thinking on dating to the point of a lot of negative results. So how do we do this thing? How do we do this dating thing? How do we do this while staying in the will of God? And what is the appropriate mindset? This is what we're going to talk about today on the Marriage Playbook with Coach Eric and Fran. We're going to talk about dating like a Christian. Now, I will make this statement. Most people do not date like a Christian. Matter of fact, most people don't even live like a Christian. They call themselves Christians because you can't live like a Christian without living according to the Word of God, because that's what Christ is. He is the Word of God. So when I say to you, date like a Christian, hey, guess what? You have to be God in your decision-making.
Coach Eric, I mean, I'm telling you, this was so wonderful, wonderfully put, what you said. And one of the things I had wrote down in my notes is the first thing with this is you have to remember who you are before you start dating someone. You got to remember, first of all, you are a Christian. That means that your character, your conduct is very important, and that you don't forget that's who you are when you are dating someone, you know. And Coach Eric said it earlier, you know, we have gotten so far away from the commandments and the conduct and the character of what God is calling his children to be like, thing up from the world. And just because we do it, what we say is, oh, because God loves me, God accepts it. No, it's a difference. You know, just because you're doing it does not mean that God accepts it. And just because judgment hasn't come to your door doesn't mean that these things are not being accounted to your salvation or accounted to your Christianity or accounted to what's going to happen later on down the road. Let's talk about your eternal state, you know, where you're going to end up eternally. So this is these are the things as a Christian that should concern us when we are dating someone. You know, it should be, do we want to hurt someone? Why? Because God is going to hold us accountable to that. Are we trying to make someone lose their virginity? God is going to hold us accountable to that. You know, have we just made somebody walk away from him and leave him? Because a lot of times when relationships go bad, people leave God. They don't leave just you. They leave God because the God in you wasn't displaying the characteristics of God. So now they think that that's how God is. And so now they leave God. We are going to be held accountable, and we think it's lightly because we say, oh, it's just dating. It's no big deal. But listen, if you're going to date like a Christian, and there are rules to dating when you are single.
Are we going to get to those rules? When she was speaking, I was thinking about this. The first question she asked is, you have to know who you are. That's true. Here's the second question, and this is a self-question. Who's in control? Who is in control? Now, look, you came to church. You know, you're a young lady. You're looking nice. You're dressed nice. You got a nice dress, nice shoes. You smell good. Your hair is nice. You got it fixed on Saturday. All right, you see a young man in church. Both of you single. He looks good. He got a fresh cut on Saturday as well. He got on a new suit, new shoes. He's clean, nice wash, you know. He smells good as well. Okay, y'all attracted to each other. That's normal. Okay, you didn't do nothing wrong there. Okay, your flesh is reacting to what you see. Okay, that's also natural. Okay, now, when you ask the question, who's in control? Is your flesh in control, or are you? Or is your flesh under subjection, or is your flesh running amok? And now you're going to make poor decisions because of how you feel. So the question here is, who's in control? Okay, now, we're setting up this sort of introduction before we get into our first segment. And our first segment is called Free Agent, because our topic is Date Like a Christian. We're dealing with mindset. So the first topic is Free Agent. And what I mean by free agent, in dating, when you are a Christian and you are single, there is no such thing as exclusivity. I'm going to say that again. There is no such thing as exclusivity when you date like a Christian. Let me explain it further. You can't take a whole claim to an individual who is single, because the only time you can claim any type of ownership or rights to an individual is when you are married. I say married and seriously engaged to getting married. I'm not talking about those play around engagements where you want to have sex so you give the girl a ring. I'm not talking about that. Or y'all want to have sex with yourself, so y'all trying to save face and say that y'all engaged, but you're not really planning no date to get married. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you really getting ready to get married. You got a date. It's coming up. You're paying for it. You're setting up your lives so y'all can join together in this union. Y'all serious about this. This is grown folk stuff. This is what I'm talking about. So, free agent, no exclusivity. Exclusivity means you have exclusive rights to an individual who you are not married to. There's no such thing as that. We do it, but that is inordinate. It is wrong. Now, I've seen it, laying claims to what may possibly be yours. This is in order because it only accomplishes through marriage. This is only accomplished through marriage. You can only have exclusive rights to an individual when you get married. That's the only time. Now, who gave you this mindset of going together? Where did we get that from? We go together. Where do y'all go together? What do y'all do when y'all together? See, these are a lot of questions that folks don't ask. We go together. Are we going steady? Going steady at what? Fornicating? What you going steady at? And where are you going? And who you going with? Where are two single people going together? And what are you doing? And is it appropriate?
Now, see, this sounds strange to a lot of people because we have become so much like the world. We have conformed so much to the world that we date like heathens, but we don't date like Christians. We Christians that date like heathens. Let me go even further. We got Christians that live like heathens. Christians that act like heathens. We have Christians that actually are heathens and they're not Christians. The Bible refers to it as wolves in sheep's clothing. Christ is not your shepherd. You're doing whatever you want. Because when you are shepherded by Christ, that means you are governed by the word of God. That's what it means to be a shepherd. And to be shepherded, you're a sheep, you're part of a flock, you are governed by the shepherd. And here, Christ is our shepherd. And is Christ Lord, and is he governing our lives?
Listen, I'm telling you, this is some good stuff, Coach Eric. I actually went to the playbook while you were talking. And I want to read Romans, the 6th chapter. And I want to start at the 6th verse down to the 12th verse. So we'll understand what the scriptures are saying and what we're talking about here. And it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now watch this. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. Talking about our members. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, the thing I love about, then we have the scripture that talks about, it's who you yield your members to. That's what's going to rule in your life. So this is why it's important not to have sex or not to do anything against God's will, because now you have entered into an area which can now bound you. And I mean, you know, now it's a fight. Say, okay, you slip, you fall, you made a mistake, okay, all right? Even though, you know, that's not count as a mistake, because it takes a lot of thought into taking off one leg, taking off another leg. You know, you got a lot of time in there where the Spirit of God is probably dealing in your heart and telling you to leave, telling you to hang that phone up, you know, before you have phone sex. He's telling you not to, you know, text no crazy stuff on the phone. You know, he always makes a way of an escape, but sometimes we don't take the escape, so we'll end up falling. What happens is now you got a fight on your hand. You got such a fight now to not do the thing that you done promised God you weren't going to ever do again. So you have to, speaking to that thing that Coach Eric talked about being in control of yourself. You know, who's in control, you know? And so we have to now stop saying, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, I'm a believer, oh, I go to this church and you know, I'm faithful and I'm this. It's how are you living? How are you showing God that you're honoring him with your body?
Yeah, but all that goes to parts because you go with somebody, right? You see what I'm saying? You see the mindset? I'm going with this person, so everything about God goes to hell. Forget about what God says because I go with you now. What does it mean? What are you talking about? How you answer to somebody who has no authority over you? Because you answer to someone and not the person you're going with. That's not who you answer to. If you're a woman, you really answer to your dad and God, because that's who you really belong to. You belong to your father and not this man that you're sleeping with, talking about you going together. that I'm going steady. Going steady of what? And whose permission did you get to have any type of exclusive rights to an individual who you are not married to? Where did you get this permission? Did you get it from your dad? Did you ask your dad that? Dad, this person, we want to go together, so we're going to have sex and all that. Is that cool, Dad? No, it's not. How much did these rights cost? Who paid for them? Who did you pay? What did that man pay for the rights? How much did it cost for you to sleep with him? Was it dinner? Are you that cheap that dinner made you lose your whole virtue? Huh? Was your ego stroked that much, man, that you lose your virtue? Because some woman challenged your manhood and wanted you to prove your manhood? Was you that insecure about being a man that you lost your virtue and you turned your back on God? See, the deceit here is in the language we use, like boyfriend and girlfriend. That's language that should not be used in the house of God, because there is no such thing as boyfriend and girlfriend. Listen, you can have a boyfriend. Now, he's just your friend. He just happens to be a male. But see, boyfriend means, oh, we have exclusive rights. That's my girlfriend. So now we make up a word that gives exclusivity, which it really doesn't give any authority to. Let me finish this. It's a title. That boy that you're talking about as your boyfriend is really a man.
Right. Work that thing down.
See, he's really a man. He's not a boy. He's a man. He's man enough to have sex. He's a man. But you can't go around and say, that's my man friend, because that don't sound right. Because man friend means that you a whore. I got a man friend, and we have sex. See, so you use the word boyfriend because that sounds more innocent. But he's really your man friend. See, the deceit here is in the language. That girl that you call your girlfriend is usually a woman. A full-grown age, a woman. Old enough to have sex. But if you say, I got a woman friend, it sounds inappropriate, and it actually is inappropriate for a young man who is single to say, I got a woman friend. How you going to go to your mom, especially your mom, and say, hey, mom, I got a woman friend? She's going to say, what the? You got a woman friend? What are you talking about? What does that mean? How old is this woman friend of yours? And what's going on? How old is this man friend? How you figured you got a man and you single? And this is why your butt can't get married, because you got too many men. What man is going to marry you when you say you got a man? And then you're not even married to that man you say you got. What do you got? You ain't got no man until you get married. You don't got a woman until you got married. What is this wifey thing that boys are saying? It's disrespectful. Either you got a wife or you got nothing. My wifey. And this terminology that you use, baby daddy, that's so disrespectful. And we wear it like some kind of badge of honor. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's my baby daddy. Your baby daddy, what? In the house of God, what? You got a baby daddy? And what man is going to mess around with you when you got a baby daddy? Why would he want that drama in his life? Young man, that woman got children, leave her alone. Find your woman that's free from that. You don't want to get bound to that and then got to deal with her, her children, and that man.
He's coming from a father's point of view. I'm telling you, Coach Eric is just amazing when he deals with this, and he deals with, we see a lot of negativity, but I say that some cases have turned out good. You know, let's say this, if a woman is keeping herself, you know, and you have children, because that was the case with Coach Eric and I. So that's not what he's saying. He's talking about if you know that this young woman has children and she's not only keeping herself, but she has not fully surrendered her life to Christ. Because when you have a woman who's fully surrendered her life to Christ, yes, that may have been some mistakes that she has made in her past. But now that God has redeemed her and has healed her, then yes, a man of God may come along and see that woman and say, you know what, and take her on. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you're in church and you have multiple children. You have not yet surrendered your life to God. You know, there's no order in your life. Stuff is still chaotic. You know what I'm saying? Here, you a young man, you trying to get yourself together with God, and now because she looking good and the way she's dressing, and you looking at her shiny legs, but you're not counting the cost about if I attach myself to this young lady and she's not where she needs to be, may not even be who God has for you. That's what we're speaking and we're addressing. But I want to read this scripture from the famous scripture from the playbook, 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse, because it goes back to, again, we don't know who we are, and we act like we do because we say the language, but it can't just be the language. It has to be come through your character. And 1 Peter 2 and 9, but we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. We're peculiar, and we like that to an extent until we feel like we got to be alone, or that we're not going to have friends, or that we're not going to be accepted, or this person is not going to like us, or this, you get me? So it's all right to be peculiar until it comes to those things. But if you are really peculiar and set apart, let me tell you something. Some of those things may happen. You may not have a bunch of friends. You may have people coming at you. This is part of being a child of God. These are things that just comes with us being in Christ. But there are also some wonderful benefits also. We can't just look at all the bad things. There's some wonderful benefits as being a child of God. You know, a peculiar priesthood, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, you cannot walk in light and darkness at the same time. Sometimes we think that it's okay and that we can do it. And again, I'll always say this, until Jesus come get me or until I go home, whichever way it happens, that we can't have both. So you will serve. You can't serve darkness and light at the same time, you know?
Okay. So, it's inappropriate to have any exclusive rights to someone who you're not married to. Okay? Because without marriage, you got nothing. So there's no exclusivity. You're free agents. Let me add this to you. As a free agent, you are free to date. And this is going to sound crazy when I say this. Every time I say this, people look at me like I'm crazy. As a free agent, you are free to date as many people as you possibly can who are appropriate. The appropriate age, both single, you can date as many people as you can. And I'm not talking about one at a time. I'm talking about at the same time. It's not wrong for a man to go out with multiple single women in the church, him being single himself. It's not inappropriate for women to go out with multiple men as long as they are single themselves, because there's no sex involved.
Right.
See, now, people look at you funny because they think you're having sex with all of those people, but you're not supposed to be having sex anyone if you're single and in Christ. This will be getting messed up, you know. So now we have this exclusive dating situation. Why is it exclusive? It doesn't get exclusive until somebody says, "Will you marry me?" And they say yes. That's when it becomes exclusive. And the date should be set soon after that. Other than that, you got nothing. Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Marriage Playbook Season 8, Game 9, Date Like a Christian. Date like a Christian. Not date like a heathen, but date like a Christian. Now, we just discussed what a free agent is, and there's no exclusivity in the dating process when you are a Christian. There's no exclusivity. No one has rights to you until you get married. Now, which brings us to our second segment, the rules of the dating game. Now, we said we're going to talk about the rules of the dating game. Now, there are rules to dating when you are a Christian. Rule number one, hands free. Hands free. Free, no touching. I don't care how much money was spent on dinner, there is no touching. The Bible says it's good that a man not to touch a woman. No touching. Now, I know that don't sound right because you want to hold hands and put your arm. No, wait a minute, that's intimacy. And I did a whole segment about intimacy. Intimacy is reserved for those that are married. Because if you start intimacy before you get married, intimacy has a way of escalating to sin. Because intimacy is for marriage. So, rule number one, hands free, no touching. This is for men, be a gentleman. Be a gentleman. I said be a gentleman, not a masher. Be a gentleman. Don't have your hands all over this woman because the woman is not yours. The girl don't owe you anything other than her company. You're paying dinner. You're paying for dinner. You're paying for the movie because you want her company. Your job here or your goal here is to try to win this woman, not to try to score. See, winning and scoring is two different things. You want to win because when you score, you don't win. When you score, both of y'all just lost. So there's no scoring. No scoring. You're trying to win the individual. Maybe into a marital situation. Okay? So you're getting to know each other. You are being interviewed. So everything that comes out your pocket, young man and woman, let the man pay. Okay, I don't care how much money you got. If he don't have any money, make him earn some money. Make him get a job so that he can pay. Influence him to work for a living so that he'd be able to take care of you or any other possible woman that he end up marrying. So you don't take and pay the bill. You let him be a man and let him pay. If you don't have money, wait till he get a job. He can take you out when he gets money. Other than that, he can visit you at the house. And sit on the porch and talk, but no touching, because that's rule number one. So the girl owes you nothing but her company. You pay for her time spent with you because she didn't have to be with you. Young women, again, don't be mean, be nice. If he can't afford to take you out, then that's fine. But like I said, you don't pay. Give him the incentive to earn money.
so he can take you out. Okay, because this is also the process of winning. Let it be his testimony that I had to get a job so I could take my wife out. That's a beautiful testimony. I couldn't afford to take her out, so she wasn't paying, so I had to get me a job because I had to get some money so I can take her out. That's honorable right there. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not gold digging. That's honorable. Okay? Now, no touching. If you want to hold on to something, hold on to the bar. Hold on to the standard of God's word. That's what you hold on to. Don't hold on to that woman because that's not your woman. Do not hold on to your man because that's not your man. You don't have a man till you get married. It's funny how women get married and men get married. Now they don't want to hold on to the wife or the husband anymore. You know, but before you get married, you want to hold on to everything. See, it's just inordinate.
You hit it a little bit, Coach. I was, in my notes, I was saying with women, I find a lot as an encouragement because a lot of times, too, we try to figure out why the gentlemen don't want to date us anymore, or don't want to go out on a second date, or may not, because sometimes as women, we're too aggressive, too aggressive. You know, we think it's all right to just pour ourselves all on a person, you know, that, you know, you don't even know if this person is even going to, you know, we take it too far, you know, and then we start already getting the wedding dress out. We done got the shoes out. We done, I'm wearing pearls and crystals. We done did all of that, and the man only took you out one time. You know, so sometimes we get to be too aggressive, even in our conduct. You know, and to me, I see a lot of that. And then we try to figure out why am I not married yet, you know, or then sometimes we wear the badge of desperation. You know, we think it's okay to wear this badge of desperation to show people how desperate we are. Or we go so over the top sharing everything about, oh, what's good about us, what's this, what's that. Men can pick up whether you're desperate. And a lot of times if that man is not, intentions aren't right, then guess what? He's going to eventually use you because he already sees the weakness in you or the spot that he can attack right there while you're eating, you know, because you're not supposed to be giving out all this information and then talking about how you've been hurt and talking about how this happened and that. He can see that you ain't over that and I can use that to my advantage. So, you know, some things you have to learn how to conceal, especially if God is still healing you in that area. Just wearing a badge of desperation as an honor badge, that's foolishness, you know, and it caused more damage to us than it does anything else. The other thing, this competition thing, you know, women are always in competition with a man. A man don't want you to be sitting there talking about how, you know, much you can lift this and I can do this. And no, and men don't want to hear that, you know. And so he's looking at you and saying, you know, you too, you know, men want the femininity. He wants you to be feminine. You know, he wants you to be delicate. You know, I've talked to so many men, and I'm talking about men of God who are looking for their wives. And the first thing they say is women are not feminine anymore, you know. Even in the way they do ministry, even in the way they preach, even the way they say they are not anymore, and I'm not understanding where that's coming from. And sometimes it's coming from a broken place that say that's sick and it's not. So again, men can see that, men can pick it up, you know. So when Coach Eric was talking about that, these are some of the things that we try to figure out why they're not calling us back, and why, you know, and the other thing is we did this because we may be educated, or we may have gifts, or we may be this, and you may do that, and then what we do is we sit with a man and we start delivering him about where he's not at, you know, because we have this perception in our minds that we're better, or, okay, you're not up to my standard. If he's not up to your standard, it's still a gentle and wonderful and loving way that you can act towards that person, and you just say, I know that's not the person for me, I'm not going to date him anymore. But you ain't got to sit there across them and debate back and forth on, you know, that's not being kind at all. And he talked about that. You have to be kind.
Now, Coach Brown hit a point. All right, this is my second rule of dating. Be nice.
Yeah,
all right, be nice. Don't be disrespectful. Don't be dissing each other. Be nice. You know, like I said, you know, give the man incentive to earn money so he can take you out. Teach him, this woman, this is important, teach him to appreciate you and understand your value.
Exactly.
A man needs to understand your value. Teach him that. Know how you teach him that? By not letting him touch you. Now, he won't touch your hand. The only time he can touch your hand is when he proposed to you. And tell him that. Oh, you want to touch my hand? Okay, well, when you propose to me, you can touch my hand. And when we get married, you can touch everything else. Drive him crazy. I'm a man, I know. Let him walk you down the street and back. But be nice.
Right.
Make him work for your time, always. Encourage him to be better. Teach him to better himself. Be honest, but be nice.
Right. That's right.
Help him, because that's your training as a wife, to help a man. So help him. Be a friend to him. Be candid. If he is lazy, tell him he's lazy, but be nice. Tell him where his shortcomings is as a man, but help him. But be nice when you do it. Keep the boundaries of hands free. He can touch you when he proposes to you on the hand, when he puts the ring on your finger. And then when y'all get married, let him know you can touch everything else. The person that's going to touch everything else is the person that's going to marry me. Once I get married, they can touch everything else because my body doesn't belong to them.
The other thing I wanted to say to Coach Eric, even as a woman, you know, Coach Eric talked about helping them and saying things and being candid. And a real woman, a real lady, will be able to do that even when you know that that person is not your husband. You know, as a friend or as a sister in the Lord, you should be able to still sit with that person, be candid, have dinner, talk to them. Because guess what? I hear women say it all the time, and it's a selfish mindset. Oh, I then gave him information and helped him so he could be with somebody else.
That's
yes. You know, yes. And that may have been your
job.
As a sister, not only that it may have been your job, it may be your assignment. You know, God may have allowed you to come across that person's path for you and that person to just be able to just talk a little bit. Why? Because it may be preparing him for somebody else. You know, we can't look at it now, the Lord done bless him and he's moving on. We're like, well, if he ain't know that, because I told him that. Come on, stop it. Stop. 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 You know? And we may get to a place where we say that we're helpful to one another. We're not keeping score to what we help somebody to do, especially when it does not work out in our favor. You know? So when we talk about ministry, we talk about loving people, we talk about all these things, going back to being a true Christian, you know, again, that man may not be your husband. That young lady may not be your wife. But that don't stop and shouldn't stop the love or you being a brother and a sister in God. And again, you really can only do that when you don't cross boundaries with one another. You know, you cannot cross boundaries with one another.
All right, I love it. Okay, number three, rule of dating, and this is important. This is essential. Keep God at the center of it all and see how comfortable your date is, because this is what your protection is. When you keep God at the center, your date should have the same mindset. If they are uncomfortable with that, then that individual has some growing to do. You might be a witness to that individual and help them grow spiritually. As a friend, okay, be nice and help him or her. Now, if there is agreement concerning faith, now you agree, you both agree concerning faith, concerning doctrine, you're concerning God's word, y'all agree, this is requirement number one. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So this is what, if you're going to be married, you need to marry somebody that you agree with concerning the word of God. So this is requirement number one. The Bible tells us to marry with inside the faith. That's what that scripture about being unequally yoked with unbelievers are. Now, people take it further, talk about other things, but really that scripture is talking about a believer is not supposed to marry an unbeliever. Again, you got to agree when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to faith. If the doctrine is not Jesus Christ, okay, then you are in disagreement. Marriage is out of the question. Listen, dating is really out of the question. Now, understand this. I'm almost done, Coach Fran. Marriage, this is the rule of dating. Marriage must be on your menu. Marriage is not on the menu, then, you know, ain't no need to go out anywhere with this bitch. Marriage, not, you ain't ready for dating if marriage is not on your menu. Because why are you dating if it's not to find a spouse or potentially to find a, it is courtship. See, dating is what the world do. Inside the body of Christ, it is courtship. You are courting one another for potential marriage. So marriage got to be on your menu when you date. Because either you're preparing yourself for it or saving yourself for it. Either you're preparing yourself for marriage or saving yourself for marriage. If this is not on your menu when you are dating, then you are not ready to date. You need to get saved first.
And I'm coming behind you, Coach, with that, because the other thing is, you know, until you have truly learned not only to love yourself, but to love your singleness. You know, it's a time of preparation in your singleness. And if you have not had that experience, you really shouldn't be. Because what happens is we get so caught up into being with somebody and dating someone, we forget all about God because we never had that intimacy with God. You know, God, in that time of singleness, God will begin not only to show you stuff about you, but God will show you even how to do things properly. God will begin to show you the things that displease him, you know. And so we don't want to have that single time, but that is like one of the most precious times you could ever have. So when you date somebody, you already know from the door where that person is coming from and whether you want to even deal with them. But we don't do that because we never set that time aside. We never had that time as being a single person set aside with our singleness with God. That's even in ministry. We don't know the calls in our lives. We don't know what God is calling us to do. We're not faithful to that because we never set ourselves aside just solely for God to be in his presence, to teach, I mean, for the Lord and through his spirit to teach us what we should and shouldn't do. You know, and what pleases him and what does not please him. So now when you go out and you start dating or somebody asks you out on a date, automatically when you start hearing a certain conversation, start hearing certain things, automatically your antenna is going to go up and you're going to be able to address that issue with your eyes wide open, you know, and say, you know what, listen, we can't have these kind of conversations if we're going to continue this date, you know, because this time, I had to literally just cut a day off because you're not talking the things of God. And let me tell you something. Not only I tell you, but I minister to that person like a brother and said, listen, if these are your intentions and you're dealing with women like this every time you go out and date, then God is going to hold you accountable for every woman you come across that's weak, that's not strengthened in the Lord, and then you take advantage of it because really that's what you're doing. You know, and we got to help even in that area. You see a brother that's constantly trying to get in the bed and trying to, he's dealing with you like that. You know he's dealing with other people like that. Don't just jump up and say, oh, I ain't dating him, no, my deal with him. Use some wisdom, but it should be some Christianly love there where you can minister to your brother so he can see that this is not the way that this should be going, you know. So we have to really start looking out for one another instead of being so selfish. It's about what I want, and I want it now, you know?
Okay, so we're dealing with the rules of the dating game. Now, we know that the marriage playbook is what we refer to as the Holy Bible. That's what we call the Holy Bible here on the marriage playbook with Coach Fran. It's the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Bible. So the rule book of the dating game is also the Holy Bible. So don't throw away the word of God because you like somebody. Don't throw the word of God away because you like somebody. Your date should not end with the violation of God's law. That is, no touching No hanging out late nights. No how to go home at an appropriate hour. No intimacy whatsoever. No hanging out in bedrooms, theirs or yours. No hotel rooms. Not even to hang out and have a party. And don't have a bunch of people in hotel rooms. No making out on the couch or any other furniture apparatus. No going away on getaway vacations when you're single. And dating no sinners. No sinners. Unbelievers should not be dating sinners, let alone marrying sinners. What is the heathen doing with the righteousness of God? These two things do not agree. So these are the rules of dating. All right, guys, I need y'all to govern yourselves according to the rules, and I'll be right back.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
I love something you said, Coach Eric, because I noticed it's something we always talk to our youngest son about. He was the only one that was still living with us when Coach Eric and us, I had both gotten married. And we used to always explain that to our son about dating and dating women and dating as a young man, very handsome young man, very highly, highly gifted. And he has the gift. I've given him the gift where he draws people to him, especially women. And so we would talk to him about that because you can have a gift, but if you're not knowledgeable, you're not submitted to God's will, you'll begin to think it's about you, and you forget that God has allowed you to have this particular thing to draw. And so even with women, we should explain to our son that, listen, these young ladies may not be who you're supposed to be dating. You may supposed to be leading them to Christ and getting them to come to church. You know, so don't be taking it upon yourself to think that because, oh, all these women are so attracted to you, you know, now you want to lead them in the bedroom. You want to lead them in the wrong way. You want to lead them. No, no. So we get that a little confused. So we should always talk to him about you're not a child of the dark or of the night, you know. So a child of God should not be out at a certain point of time or period of time, especially if you don't went out on a date with someone, you know. If you want to be out on a date and it's after 10 o'clock at night, then you need to be with a group of people. It need to be a bunch of y'all. And then even with that, you know, everybody should split up and go their separate ways. You shouldn't be taking that person home by themselves if you can't trust yourself to drop them off and keep going. So I just wanted to read this scripture here in the playbook, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to start, I guess, at the 4th verse. And it says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are also the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But us who are of the day be sober, you know. Not walking around all in a daze. We so in love and we all in a daze and we don't see what's going on. Now we look up and this person that played us. Now we done married them. Now we in this marriage and now we get to see the real them. You know, because we couldn't see past that manipulation. We couldn't see past the person setting stuff up. We couldn't see none of that because we were not sober in our minds and in our thinking and the way we see things. And let me finish, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. You know? And then it says, this is a ninth verse, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know? So it's important that we do not, you know, deal in the nighttime or deal how we used to deal. You know, when I used to go to and didn't leave the house until 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And, okay, I was a child of the night. But when I began to understand how dangerous that was, because, you know, when you're dealing like that, there's no fear in your heart. You're not thinking about these things. You know, but when you get born again and you become a child of the light, you do things differently.
Which brings us to our last segment. Okay, what she is referring to is how to be safe. Okay, so our last segment is dealing with safe and accountable, being safe and accountable. What does it mean, being safe and accountable? Well, the only way to be safe is to be accountable to something. Okay, the accountability is what gives you the safety because you have somebody watching after you or caring after you, and sometimes the thing that's caring about are the rules that you're governed by is keeping you safe. It's keeping you accountable to who you are, accountable to a law or a rule, accountable to something that is keeping to a standard that is keeping you safe. Now, if we embrace the concept of accountability, this is the foundation of your safety in dating. We must always examine our intent when dating. What is it all about for you? What is it all about for you? If it is sex, this is a heathen's mindset. If you're dating for sex, you're thinking like a heathen. You don't intend to play by any rules. So there's no accountability there. That's why people get hurt. There's no accountability there. Okay? Now, if you are dating because you want to be social, just to have fun, now that's okay, but be careful that you don't have too much fun, resulting in a violation of God's law. Now, if you're dating in courtship, which is the right and proper purpose for dating is courtship, then you are serious about your dating, very particular about who you date with, one who is, you know, honorable with virtue and therefore have value, okay? That's courtship. This is accountability to God. Accountability to God is a life of safety and sound decision-making, sound decision-making, because you're accountable to the Word of God. So what does this safety and accountability look like? What does accountability look like? What does it look like? How does it look? How is it structured? Number one, a single person who loves God and adheres to God's word. That's what it looks like. This is important because you have to, people think they love God but don't necessarily have to obey the word of God. Okay, this is false. If you love God, then you're obeying the word of God. Because that's how you love God, through the obedience to the word of God. There's no other way to love God. How's it look? A single person that loves and obeys and honors their parents. Take the advice of those who know you and care about your well-being. This is your parents. Don't let the enemy isolate you from the counsel of your parents. The scripture says it like this. Where there's much counsel, there's safety. So how are you going to something as serious as marriage without counsel? This is the thing that keeps you safe. What does it look like? You know? What does it look like? Your parents. That's what keeps you safe. Okay? Your pastor, your leadership, a mentor, your advisor. Okay? So number three is a single person who utilizes their counsel resources. The resources of counsel. You have to utilize these things. These things are there for your protection.
all of these examples assist us in making the most crucial of decisions, marriage.
And I love what you said, Coach Eric, because let me tell you something. One of the things that we do, and it's very, very dangerous, when you get around a group of people that's doing the same thing you're doing and then you're trying to get advice from them. That's not who you need advice from. You need solid people that's going to be in your life that's going to hold you accountable to make sure that you're not doing things against the will of God. Even in those moments when you feel like, you know, you're being pressured, you know, you get those feelings in your body, all of that, make sure you got somebody that you can call that's going to talk to you and it's going to keep it real and tell you what you need to do. And really, a lot of times we need to start praying and we need to get in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that washes those things from our mind, you know. And some people say, well, you ain't never been there and you don't know it. It's really, oh, yes, I've been there, done that. Everybody has been there. And the thing that bothers me sometimes the most is that you see people making the same mistake over and over again because they don't want to listen to people who've been there. You know, sometimes people think that you just woke up one morning and you just became saved and you ain't go through nothing. No, that's not the case. I don't think I would be even a little bit, because God is the one who qualifies you. But to be on this radio show to that we have experience in life really takes a lot. But if I know it's going to help you and it's going to benefit you and it's going to stop you from making the same mistake, then I'm going to share it, you know. So that's the thing. We just want you to be blessed. We want you to be able to date. Listen, date like a Christian. Date like, you know that the Lord Savior Jesus Christ is your father, and I mean, you know, the Heavenly Father is watching over you and that you are accountable to him if you make different mistakes. We got to begin to go back to have the love for God and the reverence for God, because that's the thing that's missing, and that's the thing that kind of stops us from doing what we should do in God. So, look, we love you.
Thank you so much.
Listen, we're about to be out. And listen, you know we have our PJC Media family. We want you to tune in and listen to these shows. Listen, you can always dial in to 646-668-8485. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Look, on Sundays, you got the Border of a Dovetail at 2:30 p.m. You got Partner Call with Right Stuff, that's on Tuesdays at 7 p.m.
Mm.
Let's Talk About It with Jenny Wright. That is on Fridays at 8 p.m. You got the Parker J. Cole Show, that's Saturdays at 2 p.m. Don't forget about our boy, the Craig Carlisle Show. That's at 3:30. Yep, don't forget, you got the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fred. That is on Mondays. Listen, if you're ever in the city of Philadelphia, we invite you to the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church, 2234 North Front Street. Listen, we love you guys. We pray that you say something that was a blessing to you, something you can share. Listen, go on and Google us. Go like us at Facebook, Instagram, all the social media sites. Again, thank you for your love and your prayers. Listen, we out. We see you guys on next Monday here on the Marriage Playbook.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.